What is up, Jets fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Jets Stream. My name is Jesse Finver, and with me, as always, Connor Sheeran. Connor, we have a lot to discuss this week. You know, the Jets won another game, something that, you know, I don't think either of us had this early on in the season, winning their third game, being above 500. You know, Jared did in our preview show. He certainly did have us that high up, but no, not either of us. This Jets team has certainly surprised us, to say the least. They may have the best cornerback duo in the NFL. They may have the best running back duo in the NFL.
People are saying it.
It's been discussed, and neither of us are saying this.
It's been discussed.
I'm just bringing things up that I've seen on the interwebs, you know. So, Connor, the Jets are now 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Jets good?
You know, it's like with me, I try to err on the side of pessimism.
They are. Before you continue, just give you a little some information. They are currently 12th in the NFL and PFT Pro Football Talk's power rankings. They are 16th in ESPN's power rankings. They're top 15 in NFL.com's power rankings, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
So with that knowledge right there, are the Jets a good football team? Or, like you said, you like to use a little caution.
Right.
I want to give you that information there.
Well, it's if we divide up the NFL into elite, good, bad, atrocious, usually the Jets are in atrocious territory. And if they're lucky, they're in bad territory.
Right.
Based on what we've seen so far, they're definitely in the good territory.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. That, you know, it comes from, you know, the first win against Cleveland, that was just unheard of. Like, that was pure luck at the end of it. It's hard to credit them, their skill or anything like that, getting that win. Okay? Did we have fun with it? Better believe it. We had a blast. But then
Garrett Wilson's skill was involved in that game. But other than that, yes.
Yes. And then, you know, come back down to earth a little bit in Cincinnati. Then you play Pittsburgh. Zach Wilson's back. The team looks pretty good. And, like, you know, they are up and down throughout three quarters. In the fourth quarter, they were very good. Sunday, they look damn good. They look damn good. Yeah. I mean, on Sunday, they... And this isn't, again, this wasn't start to finish. There were plenty of things that didn't look great about the Jets on Sunday, most notably their rushing defense. I mean, they got torched, I felt like, almost on every play whenever the Dolphins ran the ball. Fourth quarter rolled around, and there was no looking back. 1917, the quarter starts, and I think, what was it? They got their first touchdown with, like, 11 minutes to go in the quarter, and then they scored 21 points. It felt like it just at breakneck speed. Dolphins had no answer for him. Quinnen gets the sack, or someone got the sack. Maybe it's Carl Lawson. Quinnen picked up the fumble.
That was electric. That might have been the best part of the entire game
Oh, my God. I mean, just like
just for us, but for the players, too.
But watching Quinnen pick up the ball and then shove Tyreek's face into, like, the ground.
It was amazing.
Incredible.
It was actually amazing.
And then I remember you saying in our Slack channel afterwards, you're just like, I want him to score again. Like,
yeah,
I want to bury him.
And
I
was like, on next.
Yeah.
Foot
I want
on next.
And not even that I thought they'd come back, but, like, I was just, it's Miami. They hadn't won a divisional game in 2 years. And I want to torch him. Like,
it was certainly frustrating because, yeah, no, I mean, I wanted to torch them too. I wanted to absolutely destroy them. But it was definitely frustrating at the end of the first half. You're up 19-7 with 2:38 left in the second quarter, and that drive was just so beyond frustrating. Let me find it. It was just so frustrating watching the Jets run defense there, and this is something that we're going to discuss, like, for this for the Packers game. Because they have a very good rushing attack, and that's, like, the best part of their team right now. But, I mean, if you look at the drive, like, Mostert went for 3 yards, then 24 yards, then 4 yards, then a quick 8-yard pass, another 3-yard rush, incomplete, then a 10-yard pass. And then they actually passed a lot at the end of the drive. Skylar Thompson looked not half bad. Like he was.
I think they just had to, yeah.
Listen, like I understand he was a third string corner, I mean quarterback, but I think, first of all, two things. Tyreek Hill said to a reporter, "You can be playing quarterback, and I get my numbers." Well, buddy, you didn't get money numbers.
You didn't get. What did he get? Like 47 yards.
Let me check. He had
plenty of help from some pass interference calls.
He had 2 rushes for 13 yards and 7 catches for 47 yards. I mean, just our corners are disgusting. But Mike McDaniel is just an incredibly talented offensive play caller, and gets the most out of everybody. Skylar Thompson didn't look like awful. Like I've seen worse quarterback play than what I saw from him for sure. And he's not the reason why they lost. The Dolphins defense was just bad. And the Jets offense just couldn't be stopped. Like LaFleur was in his bag.
Yeah.
On Sunday, that wheel route to Breece was just a thing of beauty. I've watched it like a million times, like the all 22. I've seen every aspect of it, and it's just brilliant play design. And I was like thinking to myself when I watched it, I was like, I wish like I could have this play in Madden, because like it would work all the time, you know, like it would just work.
That is a play that you run in Madden, feels like you run in Madden, and then it works once, and then you just run it 10,000 times because it always works.
Yeah, the two backs in the backfield, and then you run play action with one of them, and the other one on your left runs a wheel route, and you have to the linebackers, like I don't know what the linebackers are supposed to do there. Like either they're committing to the run, and if they commit to the pass, then Zach hands it off.
Right.
And it's just impossible. It's impossible to stop. So, you know, I loved everything I saw from the Jets offense. The fourth quarter, the Jets they just flip switches in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And they just turn things on. It's something that we haven't seen from this team. I mean, honestly, like I've never seen anything like this from this franchise. Like even like when they were good in like the 2010, 2011 season and 2015, like they weren't having like fourth quarter explosions like this, you know, where I think it's just the level of talent the Jets have
right now. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Just it's so superior to anything we've seen in recent memory. I mean, Breece Hall, let's talk about him for a minute. Had the most receiving yards from a running back. He had 100 receiving yards. The last time Jets running back did that was LaDainian Tomlinson in 2010. He had basically 200 yards today, or Sunday, excuse me. Zach looked great. Like these throws that he's making, these out routes, these like 20 yard outs that he's hitting these guys on the sidelines for, it's like becoming a staple of this offense almost.
And that was the biggest thing on Sunday is that the analyst said it. I think Bart Scott said it in the after show on SNY that too many people, especially with the young quarterbacks, look at after every game, and you and I have said this plenty of times on this show, that they look at stat lines and they judge quarterbacks more than anyone on stat lines. Like, if you're not watching a game, like someone that didn't watch that game on Sunday will look at Zach's stat line, and I don't even remember what, like
it was 14 for 21 for 210 yards. He took two sacks,
right?
But he was fantastic.
One of them
was
really bad, but. That was
and the other one was just, well, was it bad on him or was it because like he just came free and was just
the second one was bad because he kept going backwards and backwards and backwards, and he lost like 17 yards.
Yeah, that one was just tough because that guy was just unblocked. He was a defensive back off the edge and he just had no chance.
Right.
It was a play action play.
Right.
So you would love to him to throw the ball away, but like then like he would. That one I'm okay with. Like,
and that was just it. Is like Samini. We were talking about it before on the ESPN power rankings thing, and how if you're not familiar with this, people that are listening, when ESPN does their power rankings, that each beat writer on ESPN from the team writes like the short little blurb about what they noticed from the team that week. And you said ESPN, the Jets had him at like 16, think, and Samini's entire paragraph was about how Zach wasn't doing enough. And it was like, you don't, in that game on Sunday, you didn't need Zach to do anything. The whole offense was through Breece Hall, and that's what it needed to do. I mean, it was working. Why would you all of a sudden switch gears and start putting the ball in Zach's hands when you don't need to, when Breece Hall is getting 6 to 7 yards per carry every single play, it felt like.
So the Jets, I mean, this was a balanced.
It was, you know, exactly what you needed.
This was a balanced rush. This was a balanced offense this week. Mm-hmm. They had 135 rushing yards, and they had 210 passing yards. You know, they had two takeaways. They had an interception, which was Sauce Gardner's first interception. And then they had the fumble. So there's multiple things I want to talk about there. The takeaways. So are we done with Breece Hall? I mean, I think that, no, you know, we can't be done with Breece Hall.
Breece Hall.
No. What I want to, here's what I want to say about Breece Hall. The Jets have not, I think that there's a guy that we can compare him to a little bit in terms of his versatility. The guy I mentioned already, and it's LaDainian Tomlinson. It's the last guy we had like Breece Hall who can, you know, change the flow of a game just by being out there and, you know, defense is having to worry about him and just his play in general. I mean, he 200 total yards is not something you see next to a Jets running back.
Did you know they put it up in the game? Do you know who the last running back was for the Jets to do that?
Was it Chris Ivory?
No, it was Isaiah Crowell.
That, damn it.
In that Broncos game a couple
years ago. Yeah, no, that's why they both had dreadlocks. And, they looked very similar. They played very similarly.
Crowell's career was never the same when he used the ball to wipe his ass in that Cleveland game.
Yeah,
his career was never the same.
But Breece, man, he's just, and we have such a good 1-2 punch. Carter's really good in the power back aspects of things, and like he just doesn't go down in the first tackle ever. Really good change of pace guy. But Breece is clearly the guy.
Yeah,
Breece had 18 carries for 97 yards. Carter had 10 for 21. And honestly, Carter, I'm glad he got two touchdowns because his day was kind of mediocre. Other than that, Breece was something else. He was something else on Sunday. Clearly the best player on the field.
Three touchdowns. I mean,
he should have had three touchdowns.
The long pass. I mean, he's like, I think we talked about it. There's not much that Berrios could have done on the run. Otherwise, he would have gotten called for blocking the back.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I remember people saying that it's like in that situation, guys should just, he should have just gotten behind Breece and just pushed. Like he was on the goal line. When he got close, just push. Obviously, in the moment, it's hard to think about that. Breece comes up like half a yard short. And then there's the run later, or like it was a pass again. And he was like half a yard short again. So he did end up getting a touchdown, thankfully, but should have had like three.
So hold on. So I'm looking up, you know, this isn't really how I want to break this down. I want to look because there's a tweet I saw. Breece Hall is currently 10th in the NFL in yards from scrimmage. Mm-hmm. The only guys ahead of him are Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, Christian McCaffrey, and Stephon Diggs.
Oh, so like nine of like the best players in the NFL is what you're telling me?
Yes.
Damn.
Does that mean Breece Hall is like one of the best players in the NFL? Is that what?
I mean, we're only 5 weeks in. If you were saying this and it was like week 16, we'd really be talking.
So yeah, Breece Hall is certainly somebody that we're going to enjoy watching for quite a long time.
Right. And I also just got to make a note. Shout out Michael Carter, because he could have easily been a guy that like Breece Hall could have gotten drafted and he could have gotten upset or something like that, you know, thinking he was going to be the guy this year. He came in. He's still just Michael Carter. He's giving the people give like the Instagram. They give him the phone. He's recording everyone. He's still like the locker room guy. Everyone still loves him. He's perfectly settled in. He's got his role. Breece is going to start getting more carries now. He's going to start getting more reps. Michael Carter would be the number two back, it seems like. And he's good with that, you know?
Yeah.
Love that. Love to see that.
Absolutely. So I'm very excited about – we're both very excited about Breece. And we're both – I think Michael Carter, shout out to him as well. Yes, I agree. you know, he could have been that guy, but he wasn't. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
He's selfless, a selfless teammate.
Exactly.
You know? All right. So obviously we loved what we saw from the rushing attack. Passing attack, like we mentioned, Zach Wilson, just he played well. Everybody, you know, who's involved. I think he completed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different receivers caught passes. Yeah, love seeing that. Like Jeff Smith even had like a big like third down catch. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I needed that one.
Yeah. It was inside our own side of the field. So that was big. Michael Carter, 2 catches for 12 yards. Uzama had 2 catches. Conklin had a catch, I think, that got called back for a penalty. I'm not 100% sure, but he was targeted once. And then Corey Davis, 2 for 38. Garrett Wilson, 3 for 27. Elijah Moore, only 1 for 11. He had 4 yeah. targets, though, which was tied for the most
yeah. targets. He's someone I really want to see the Jets get more involved in through 5 weeks.
100%. And he will.
He will. It's just like through 5 weeks, I feel like, you know, he's not getting much. I mean,
you know what? As long as they result in wins,
I know.
I don't think that he'll have any complaints. And it's not like he's not being targeted. He was tied with Davis and Wilson for most targets. He only had 1 catch, though. And he's going to, I mean, we know how good he is. He's going to get his. Don't worry. So
at the end of the day, there's only one stat in football that matters.
That's a W.
That's yep. it. So,
all right, let's shift over to the defense. We'll start with Sauce. I mean, the guy had his first interception of his career a couple of days after mentioning, oh, yeah, I don't think I have one yet. And then, like, he forgot in the postgame interview. He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot that happened.
I did get an interception.
Yeah. So he was fantastic, as always. I really think that the Jets have something really special with him. And then DJ Reed also is just so good. How old is DJ Reed? Let's see. I think he's, like, 25. Like, I don't think he's that old.
He is young.
Which would be sick. Like, yeah, he's 25.
Yeah.
He's just so good. Like he caught an interception. Like he caught a pass out of bounds.
Oh, God.
You know, yeah. One-handed one. Did you see that when he was falling out of bounds backwards?
I think I posted like a tweet about him. Like the ref should have just looked at it and been like, all right, we gotta give that guy. But I mean, like it was too good. We gotta give it to him out of like just principle.
So good. How good has Kwon Alexander been?
Oh, one of the best, like most underrated signings, I think
the Jets have had in years,
and not even just the Jets. I think the NFL in general, the dude, yeah. He came out, he could have just been like one of those guys that the Jets signed and he's just there. He's like one of those classic kind of like feels like a Jets offseason move that kind of gets you excited.
Used to be really good, but like, yeah.
You think he's a kind of a known name. So it's like, oh yeah, we have Kwon Alexander now. It's like, no, that dude's still running around. He's still crushing people when he's out and they give him an opportunity to hit people, and has not slowed his game at all. Like he's been fantastic so far.
So he had 10 tackles. That's 29 total on the season. Now CJ Mosley also had 10 tackles and he is tied for, he is in sole possession of second place. There's 3 guys, Zaire Franklin, Roquan Smith and Jordan Brooks, who are all tied at 54 tackles. CJ's at 51, Miles Jack at 50. Tackles, you know, they're an okay stat. I don't really look into it that much. Like in solo tackles, let's see. He's definitely, yeah, he's 12th with 30. So he's just been so solid for us, is my point. And he could obviously be better in coverage. I thought the Jets did a good job. We were worried about Gesicki, and Gesicki did not do much. I mean, obviously when Teddy Bridgewater gets knocked out, yeah, Gesicki 1 catch for 30 yards, 2 targets. Yeah. Like obviously when Teddy Bridgewater gets knocked out, which when we mentioned Sauce before and how well he played, not just the interception, that first play of the game, the safety that he forced. I mean,
he came in like a fucking missile.
I know, it was amazing, and he directly led to 9 points scored. You know, he got that, and then he had the interception. We got points, touchdown off of that. I think that was the Zach Wilson diving rushing touchdown that they scored off after the
interception. Yeah, I think so. Actually, that's kind of what I wanted to ask. What did you think of them taking Teddy out? Because this was kind of like the first week with this new sort of rule.
Yeah, I mean, so like, did you see what Troy Aikman was saying?
kind, I think, like, was
he's
it
like he's like just complaining about like the amount of protection that quarterbacks are getting. Like, this is a quarterback, like a Hall of Famer, who's like, right. Yeah, we're babying the quarterbacks way too much.
Yeah, what
and it happened that it happened after Chris, so Chris Jones sacked Derek Carr.
Yeah,
It was a huge play in the game, and the Raider, and then they called it unnecessary roughness, like roughing the passer or whatever it was, on Chris Jones, and it was such a clean play. And he had like a whole tirade basically during Monday Night Football about it. I think that Troy's definitely, like, he's not wrong that quarterbacks are being babied right now. I think that the Dolphins, like, do I feel bad for Teddy Bridgewater because he probably wasn't concussed? Yeah, but, like, you know what? The Dolphins did this to themselves. They did. Like, yeah. They're the ones who fumbled the bag with Tua.
Yep.
They screwed up there. They changed the rule for the league, and now they're hurting for it. You know, the way Zach puts his body on the line.
I thought when he scored the touchdown, I was like, oh my God, he got killed.
Yeah.
He got killed. That was like a helmet-to-helmet hit.
Yeah.
So it certainly sounded like it. I was like, Jesus.
Something that I was listening to the Bill Simmons pod, and they were talking about this, or maybe it was Pardon My Take. I can't remember which one it was, but they were talking about, I think it was the Bill Simmons, I'm pretty sure. There's going to be an adjustment for this. There's going to be an adjustment where, this is what they were saying, and I agree with it. Basically, like, they're going to tell their quarterbacks, like, if you think that, like, you're messed up, but, like, you could still play. Like, if you think, like, if you're going to stand up and be a little woozy, but you'll be fine. You know, and you want to, like, stay in the game, like, they're gonna tell their quarterbacks, listen, stay down for like another second, yeah. Wait for one of our offensive linemen to get to you, regain your composure, and then stand up. Don't try and stand up right away, which is not what you want from.
It kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, but like I heard that, and I was like, that, you know what, like, yeah, that defeats the, that would defeat the purpose. But these teams don't care.
No,
they just want to win. At all costs, and a concussed Teddy Bridgewater is better than a non-concussed, or maybe a slightly concussed Teddy Bridgewater is probably better than a non-concussed Skylar Thompson, who, like I said before, wasn't terrible. Like, anybody can produce Mike McDaniel.
Right.
I'm not kidding. Tyreek Hill said himself, that reporter could throw them the ball and he can still produce.
And another thing, their offense was going through rushing too.
Yeah.
Skylar Thompson was throwing the ball a ton.
They had 166 rushing yards.
Yeah.
Passing yards, sorry. They had 137 rushing yards. That's still good. Raheem Mostert, 18 for 113. Him and Tyree, he averaged 6.3 yards per carry. Like, he was, we couldn't stop him at all.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, I think that, do I think Teddy Bridgewater, it was right for him to come out? Yeah, but, like, I think that, like, if he showed, like, he's okay. And, like, it's tough. Like, it's very arbitrary, I feel like. Like, there's, like, a concussion spotter is just sitting in the box, and, like, they think that they see a wobble. Right. Like, what if they stumble up because they trip on some turf?
Right.
You know? And then, like, that's it. And you're like, no, like, and I'm like, no, sorry, the concussion spotter said that they saw you, like, all messed up. You must have gotten hit in the head. Like,
right.
That hasn't happened yet, but, like, would it shock me if it did?
It was the first week of, like, the new rule, and it happened.
Didn't Brady almost get knocked out of the game too?
Yeah, like the most bullshit roughing the passer call I've ever seen.
I didn't even see it.
It was legitimately. It wasn't even as. It was worse than the one last night with Chris Jones, where it was like Chris Jones. For anyone that didn't see it, Chris Jones sacked the quarterback, but did like the land on the quarterback thing, where you're not supposed to have like your whole weight go on him, and it's just one of those moments where. What are these defenders supposed to do as they're tackling the quarterback? Sometimes they're going to land on the quarterback, and they can't roll out midair to make sure that doesn't happen. And it's going to be a struggle for these defensive players. You know, in a sense, it's just what do you want these guys to do half the time?
Wait, Brady kicked him after the play.
Did he?
Yeah, I'm watching it right now. The Grady, it was going Grady Jarrett, right?
Was it? I think so. It might have been.
Oh, and this was like in a pivotal moment of the game, right, too. Right. Yeah.
That's why it was so, I mean, it was a bad enough penalty, but that's why it was also so controversial. Was that it kind of really.
Brady tried to kick him.
Sounds like Brady. And what did he say when they asked him about it? He's like, I'm not a ref. Like, I don't throw the flags. I'm like, you're right. You know, you're not going to say that they shouldn't have called it because your team won the game. But just, yeah. That's just my hatred for Tom Brady coming through.
That's crazy. Hmm. Yeah, this ref, Jerome Boger, is getting destroyed. Also, isn't Jerome Boger a terrible referee? Isn't he known as that, just a bad ref?
A lot of the NFL.
All right, another thing I wanted to discuss, the pass rush, man.
Yeah.
Oh. we only had 2 sacks, but we had 16 quarterback hits. Carl Lawson had 7. John Franklin Myers had 5. Quinnen Williams had 2. Quinnen and JFM shared a sack. Carl had a sack, and he forced a fumble. This looked like the pass rush we signed up for.
Right. Also, yeah, we found out today, Quinnen Williams tied for QB hits with Dexter Lawrence.
Sexy Dexy.
Leading the league with 8, 8 or 9. So,
yeah.
Let's go.
So I think that Quinnen has 3 sacks on the year. The leader is Max Crosby, Matthew Judon, Nick Bosa, and Micah Parsons with 6 each. And then with Sauce, he had his first interception. Damn, Jordan Poyer already has 4 picks.
Damn.
Von Bell has 3. Eddie Jackson, Marcus Williams. I wanted Marcus Williams on the Jets. Damn. Mm-hmm. Minka, LaMarcus Joyner has 2. We know that. That's good. But yeah, so we talked about Sauce already, but this pass rush, Carl Lawson had his best game as a Jet.
Easily.
He was just dominant. There's not much else I can say about him, honestly. He was just that good. He, like I said, 7 quarterback hits. It felt like he was in the backfield almost every play. JFM is just an animal. Having those 3 guys, Quinnen, John Franklin Myers, and Carl Lawson together on that line is just so dangerous. Unfortunately,
shout out Bryce Huff.
Shout out Bryce Huff, who's
getting rotated in there more, and I think that's gonna go.
He had one of the 16 quarterback hits.
Yep, he's a very good asset for them to be able to roll in there.
Yeah, no, he's been great. He's been really great. Sauce had 1 pass defended. Michael Carter had 2. JFM had a SWAT. Mm-hmm. He had a pass defended. I mean, it was just an overall really awesome effort from this defense that, you know, gave up 20 points to the Steelers and, struggled a little bit, you know, gave up 30 points to the Browns, gave up 27 to the Bengals and 24 to the Ravens. So this was good to hold the team under 20 points. It was really great to see. Any thoughts from you on the pass rush? Just because anything else that I missed?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they've been able to definitely settle in as far as, I still don't love Jeff Ulbrich. I feel like he still doesn't call for blitzes as often as I think he should, especially with some of the pass rushers that they do have. I mean, I was seeing it on Sunday. Half the time that they weren't. It's a miracle in some ways that they got as many QB hits as they did, because it felt like they weren't blitzing as often as they should have been. If anything, just try to stop the run and get into the backfield and do all that. But I think the players are making up for it in a lot of ways. Obviously, they still struggle in a big way with run defense. But
yeah,
that's
what I wanted to bring up to you next.
Yeah, and it's a miracle that things didn't get worse in the Cleveland game, that since they actually have one of the best running backs in the league in Chubb. But the running defense, it was just, I don't even know what was going on Sunday, that they let guys like Raheem Mostert just run all over them.
Listen, Raheem Mostert, this was kind of a perfect storm because Mike McDaniels used him before in San Francisco, and he's one of the fastest players in football. Mm-hmm. I've always liked Raheem Mostert and thought that he was a pretty solid running back. And it surprised me that people thought Chase Edmonds was going to be the RB1 in Miami when it was so clear. I mean, I wouldn't say it was clear, but it was definitely like, oh, we're forgetting about like arguably the fastest player in football and Raheem Mostert.
Right.
You know, like this guy is just a home run hitter and he was hitting home runs against the Jets. Yeah,
that's for sure.
I feel like he had multiple 10 yard rushes. Like he had a 24 yard run. He was so good. I mean, he wasn't the best running back on the field, but he was definitely really good.
Oh, no, sir.
Yeah, it was just, it was a wire to wire win. They never trailed in the game. They had a missed field goal. They would have been down, and that could have changed things in this game. But they really really rallied when they needed to. 21. You know, you go 5 points in the first quarter, 14 in the second, and then you get shut out in the third, and you're like, Jesus, here we go again.
Yeah.
You know, then the missed field goal, and then that fourth quarter happens, and they just go absolutely nuts. So it was really great to see. There were long drives. Most of these were long touchdown drives, 9 plays. I guess that Breece Hall one wasn't long. It was a long play.
Yeah, it was a long play. Yeah.
Yeah. But like 7 plays, 9 plays, you know, they had a bunch of really good, you know, and it was just, and then the special teams was great too.
Yeah. Oh, Brandon Mann.
Yeah. Brandon Mann's been, he had his, easily his worst game as a pro. I think it was against the Bengals.
I think so. Yeah.
He was just shanking punts.
Right.
They brought in another punter, and he's been money ever since.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely was like, oh, I got to get my shit together. Like,
exactly.
They're gonna fire me. They're gonna cut me if I don't something.
And so and Greg Zuerlein.
Yeah, Justin Hardy has like a 90 PFF grade.
Yep.
That's when we like using PFF numbers. You know, everything else about them with the Jets is terrible because they hate the Jets for some reason.
Yeah, they hate the Jets. Also, you know, Sneaky hates the Jets. Yahoo Fantasy. They're right.
Yeah.
You go in and you click on like a Jets player or something like that. For some reason, like no matter what, like the player did like that week, it's just endless shitting on them.
Yeah.
And it's like even still like them talking about, I have Michael Carter on my team. I might have to start him this week, but it's like still has a line in there like digging at Zach, like saying as they run the offense through you know, their running backs as Zach Wilson still develops, and like just you can just tell like the way that they're writing it. That the person typing it out is just like so against the Jets. Just you could just feel it through the keyboard.
I'm reading Bryce Hall's stuff. They are pretty nice to Breece. I mean, Breece.
It's impossible, you know.
Yeah, when you have 200 yards, they kind of have to be.
You kind of can't talk shit about that.
He's like they ended with crashing into the RB2 ranks. Hall has an intriguing week six matchup against the Packers soft run defense. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's awesome. Breece is awesome. All right. Any final thoughts on Miami? I mean, just, you know.
We had fun.
It was a fun win.
A lot of fun. And it helped not to, this would be the only time I mentioned them on the pod for a couple months. It helped ease the blow of the Mets. So.
Oh, yes, it did. I had a fantastic Sunday. I watched the Jets at work. I had all the games up. I was by myself most of the day, all for the whole 1 o'clock window, basically. And then I went to Billy Joel.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I went to Billy Joel. Didn't watch a second of the Mets, really. I saw like a couple of pitches like in the box, but then I turned it off. And I enjoyed Billy Joel. I checked my phone every now and then to see what the score was. Billy Joel was actually, he's like, hey, what's the score? And he's like, anything change? Any update? And everyone was like, nah, it's bad. You don't want to
just play over the next song.
Everybody was yelling, nah, it's bad. It's real bad.
Billy, it's bad. You also, Elton John officially on the shit list.
Yeah, no, he's dead to me.
He was rooting for the Braves. I mean, I'm pretty sure he has a house in Atlanta. So maybe
he does. He's lived there. He lived there for a bunch of years.
So sorry, Elton. Love you, man. Yeah. But can't. There's no coming back from that.
No, there's no coming back from that. All right. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
We have Honestly, I'm excited to talk about this game.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to talk about this game. The Jets are visiting Lambeau. They're visiting Lambeau Field, something that they have not done since 2014, I think. No, it's got to be more recent than that. No, I think it would be 2014 because you play them every 4 years.
Yeah.
So 4 years ago, they played at MetLife. I mean, at MetLife, 2018.
I think you're right.
And then, Darnold had that game against the Packers. That was really good.
It was really good. It was like one of his best games.
Yeah. And then in 2014, we went to Lambeau and it was bad. I know we're in 2010. In 2010, I went to that Packers game.
Oh my God. I'm looking at that. Looking at the score right now.
It was 9-6, I think.
9-0.
9-0. Yeah. And
Packers.
I remember, Sanchez had either Braylon or Santonio Holmes open down the left sideline, wide open, and he threw one to like Cotchery, who ended up like catching the ball, but he was in double coverage and he got tackled immediately, I think. And Santonio would have scored a touchdown. And I was so pissed. I mean, we ended up, you know, having a fun season that year still, but like, all right, we're going to Lambeau. What's your opening take on this game? I'll give you some info first. Matchup predictor has the Packers as 83.3% favorite. The line is currently 7.
Yeah.
60% of the money is on Green Bay. Jets are plus 260 money line. It is going to be 50 degrees and a little rainy.
Ooh.
On Sunday.
Sounds like a
we're in the AccuWeather. Sounds like a Breece Hall, Michael Carter day, you know? Yeah. Also sounds like an Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon day. So,
exactly.
it's going to be on the running games. The Jets are averaging more points per game than the Packers right now, 23.2 to 19.4, but they're also allowing more, 23.6 to 19.2. They are just barely averaging less total yards per game, which is incredible if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And then yards allowed, they've actually let up more yards allowed per game than the Packers. So the Packers let up 126 rush yards per game. Jets only let up 114, whereas it's 217 and 194 in the pass yards allowed. So you have that info. Right now, Christian Watson and Devontae Wyatt are questionable for the Packers. We have Max Mitchell, Jermaine Johnson, and Quincy Williams who are hurt for the Jets. Mitchell's on injured reserve. Jermaine Johnson is questionable with an ankle injury, and Quincy Williams also has an ankle injury. It's a high ankle sprain. Not sure when he'll be back. So, with all that being said, what's your initial takeaway on Jets Packers? What's your thoughts on this matchup?
I think Aaron Rodgers is pissed off.
Yeah,
all the probably. Packers are pissed off. I think they are very angry. They are looking to come back to Lambeau, and they're looking to come in and beat down on the Jets. They're pissed that they went into London and lost to the Giants on the, I think they said it was the most watched international game so far for the NFL. They're pissed. They're very angry. And Aaron Rodgers is known to be a very angry guy when he's on the field and when he's off the field. He's an angry guy, you know, in general. So I think he's going to go out there and he's going to go hunting. Granted, he doesn't have the receivers. He doesn't have like Devontae Adams like he used to. His receivers are Alan Lazard and what did you say earlier today? Like 90-year-old Randall Cobb and Robert Tonyan, their tight end. So he's not exactly throwing to some world beaters anymore, but he's still Aaron Rodgers. And really great elite quarterbacks can elevate the players around them.
So, continue.
I think because of all that and the fact that it's Lambeau, that it's just going to be a much, much, much tougher game than what we've got in the past 2 weeks for the Jets.
All right, so I want to read a quote to you. All right. So this is a tweet from Zach Jacobson. who is a Packers beat writer for CBS Sports. The tweet is, some players in the locker room, including Jaire Alexander, were talking about potentially losing next week to the Jets. Quote, we've got to check ourselves on that because that's not winning football, said Aaron Rodgers. Ja's my guy. We don't need to be talking about that. So, is there a little trouble in the Packers locker room right now? Is there a little like they may be pissed off, but are they more pissed off at themselves than they are at their potential opponents?
I mean, I think it's just like,
I'm going to find the Jaire Alexander quote.
I think that's what it is. I think Aaron Rodgers is just Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you see the clips of him when he's, I mean, granted it's on the field. I can't imagine what it's like to be on the field as an NFL player, having those guys like communicate with one another, but you see it all the time out there. And Rodgers is like out there and he's like screaming at, he's like screaming at his guys out there. And he's like, what was the, I think it was on Sunday where one of the guys was like in motion when he wasn't supposed to be. And Rodgers just like, get the fuck on the other fucking side of the field. Like he's screaming at him and stuff. And I think it was a London game. Cause Mark Sanchez was calling as the color guy on Sunday for Fox. And he's like, oh, you can hear Aaron's a little angry out there. So it's yeah. I think you might be right. I think they're angry at the thought of them possibly losing to the lowly Jets, and they're also pissed off, yeah, at each other.
Probably. Nobody wants to lose to the Jets.
Nobody
wants to lose to the Jets. But you know what? The Jets are taking all of this so personally.
Yeah,
they and took no one personally
wants to lose the Giants for that matter. Now, I mean, the Giants are good now, but I think. The Giants, I think people...
I think they're good. We think that they might be good.
Right.
And I'm not totally sold on... one thing we know with the Giants right now. There's one thing we know. Sorry, hold on. There we go. There's one thing we know with the Giants. They're very well coached.
Very well coached.
Very well coached.
I think that's...
They have no talent on that roster, really. And I don't know how they're doing this,
It's your guy. God help them if Saquon gets hurt.
Yeah.
Because then I think the team really falls off a cliff. Because the entire
they have Breida, who has also looked good in limited snaps, but he's not Saquon.
Right, right.
And Saquon's just carrying them. He's been amazing, so I'm happy for them. Sorry. All right, here the Jaire Alexander quote is: "I ain't worried, but if we lose next week, then I'll be worried." Really, really, you'll be worried after you lose again. Yeah. Wow. That's you really going on a limb there. Can you name to me? We'll play a game real quick.
Oh, boy.
Can you name me the Green Bay Packers starting wide receivers? Name their top four wide receivers.
Al Lazard.
Okay, that's one of them.
Randall Cobb. I don't know. I don't know. Who are the other two guys?
So they have Romeo Doubs.
Okay.
They have Alan Lazard. They have Randall Cobb. Christian Watson.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Amari Rodgers. And Samori Toure.
Okay. I like that name.
They got Robert Tonyan and Mercedes Lewis.
They still have Mercedes Lewis?
Yeah, I can't believe he's still in the league either, man. They have a solid... They arguably the best left tackle in football in David Bakhtiari. Right. But the rest of their line is pretty whatever, pretty meh. Ayton Jenkins... Royce Newman, Josh Myers, John Runyon. And Aiden is E-I-G-T-O-N. So I don't even know if that's actually... It might be like Aiton? Jenkins? On defense, Dean Lauer. They have a fantastic front seven. Mm-hmm. Dean Lowry, Kenny Clark, Jerron Reed, Preston Smith, Devondre Campbell, Quay Walker, Rashawn Gary. Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, and Kenny Clark are some of the best pass rushing... down lineman in football. And they have him listed, Rashawn Gary, as the strong side linebacker, but he's definitely more of a down lineman. And then they have a great secondary. They have Adrian Amos and Jaire Alexander. Darnell Savage is having a terrible season. Rasul Douglas is not having a good season. Eric Stokes is kind of whatever. Actually, how old is Eric Stokes? Am I thinking of the wrong Eric Stokes here? Is he the rookie who's having a great year?
Let's see.
Round one, pick 29, 2021. So his second year. Yeah, he's actually not that bad. So the reason I asked you who the wide receivers were, going all the way back to that, is because we know who's playing quarterback for the Packers. He's a bad man.
Bad man.
He's a bad man.
Stephen A. Smith says.
Uh-huh. Aaron Rodgers is first ballot, unanimous Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody who doesn't like that, doesn't like his politics, will keep him off their ballot. But anybody with a brain knows he is one of the five, six best quarterbacks to ever walk the earth.
Yep.
So you could have,
without the rings, you could have made the argument he was better than Brady.
Yeah. Yeah, talent-wise, I've never seen a quarterback do what he can do with the ball until Patrick Mahomes came into the league.
Right.
And even then, Aaron Rodgers still is he's a freak of nature. So they have losses to the Vikings and the Giants. They've beaten the Bears. They went to Tampa and beat the Bucks, though I don't know if the Bucks are that amazing. I mean, we can give the Bucks the benefit of the doubt. It's Brady. Mm-hmm. We've learned our lesson with that. And they beat the Patriots at home. 27-24. But like, that was with Bailey Zappi. And like, I think it's pretty clear that these Green Bay Packers are not that good.
They're not bulletproof.
They're not. And so I bring up the wide receivers because the Jets secondary is their strength on defense. It's pretty obvious. I'd say it goes secondary, and then right now their pass rush, based off the last two games, secondary and then pass rush has been just 1-2. Very, very good. Linebackers they've been solid. Like, the defense, the biggest issue is the rush defense. Obviously, we know who their running backs are, and A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. They're both studs. But these wide receivers don't scare me at all. And as good as Aaron Rodgers is, the wide receivers have to get open.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see them getting open very often. I just don't. The big plays, like, the Jets don't let up big passing plays. You know,
they haven't this so far of the season.
Yeah, and every time it's down deep, you see somebody swatting the ball away. It's been amazing. And the secondary has just been so solid. I'm just really not scared of their passing offense at all. So if it's going to be raining and cold, 50 degrees and raining, you just have to stack the box. You need your linebackers to play downhill. You need your safeties to make the tackles. You know, it's tough because you have LaMarcus Joyner playing free safety, and he's 5'8", like he's 5'7", like he's so small. So like, we need a big game out of Joyner in the Russian defense and Jordan Whitehead. But I'm just really not scared of their passing attack right now. Rodgers is amazing, but the guys that he has at wide receiver just don't get open that often. It's why they lost to the Giants. It's why they struggled against the Bucks. It's why they struggled against the Patriots, and the Bears are just terrible, and they have a win against the Bears. Like,
the Bears are
they're just awful. So, yes, Aaron Rodgers is really good. I've said that a number of times already. I understand, but I mean, it's worth reiterating. He is that guy, but I'm just not that scared of this Packers offense outside of their rushing attack right now. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I mean, I'm as scared as I probably should be going into Lambeau Field. That's a good way to put it. Healthy respect for Aaron Rodgers and Lambeau Field, because it is Lambeau Field. Packers and like the Steelers, and like the Patriots, maybe not the Steelers so much this year, but the Packers, we'll say just for history's sake, the Steelers, the Patriots, they're all like perennially at the very least average every season. You know, I think the Patriots had their worst season like two years ago, when, you know, they didn't make the playoffs and stuff. But they're all perennially good. And if they aren't good one season, they bounce back immediately the next season. So I think you said the line for Sunday was 7.
Yep.
Jets plus 7. I think the Jets cover.
Yeah, same. Yeah,
I think they cover. And I think that they lose, but I think they cover. Because like you said, all the Packers wins this season have been – I think you said that all the Packers wins this season have been close.
27-22, they lost – 27-24 they won, 14-12 they won, 27-10 they won, and then they lost at Minnesota 23-7.
Okay, so I'm guessing the 27-10 game was the Bears?
Yes.
Okay, so outside of that, all the games have been close. So I definitely think the Jets cover. I don't think they win, but I think I could easily see it being like a 27-20 or a 24-20 type game. Something close like that, where if it is raining and it limits, particularly not so much, I don't think as much Rodgers, but more Zach from throwing the ball as much, I could see it being something like that, you know?
Right. I think that, I think what I said before, healthy respect is what the Jets would have. Here's a thought that I just had, though. And I think that a lot of teams are starting to have these thoughts about the Jets. I think their teams are starting to think differently about the Jets a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, they may have earned a little bit more respect around the league. They're not there yet. As you can see by Jair Alexander's comments, like, oh, if we lose next week, then I'll be worried. Like, oh, we lose to the Jets. You still had Minka Fitzpatrick saying 2 weeks ago, you know, it's really tough because, you know, we know we have, it sucks losing to a more, when you're the more talented team.
Yeah, you're more talented. Yeah.
Yeah, more talent, my ass.
you lost, buddy. Like, yeah. That's all that matters. You lost. So,
it's pretty clear the Jets have a bunch of talent now. But there's like the whole, you know, they played a third string quarterback. They've beaten Kenny Pickett, Jacoby Brissett, and Skylar Thompson. They've lost to Burrow and Lamar. Like, they haven't done anything yet. We know the Jets haven't done anything yet, but I also know that, like, what I've watched.
Right.
You know, and what I've watched is a team that's capable of actually going into Lambeau. As long as Zach Wilson keeps playing mistake-free football, they can win this football game. They mm-hmm. can. And I'm going to pick them to win this football game.
Ooh, okay. Keep riding that, ride the lightning.
I will.
3-game winning streak.
In fact, I think that this could get to a 5-game winning streak.
Jesse.
I think that they can.
Jesse.
As long as there's caveats, of course, as there always are with predictions. You know, Zach Wilson needs to continue to play mistake-free football. You know, an interception here or there is not going to sink you, but you know, you need to be able to capitalize on other teams' mistakes on defense and on offense. And if the Jets go into Green Bay and beat the Packers, I'm expecting us to be 6-2 heading into their matchup against the Bills at home, where they get their doors blown off. But it'll be for first place, and it would be just so much fun, and it would be very hyped up. Do I think that's going to happen? I'd say the Jets have like a 19-20% chance of doing that, honestly, because of how bad I think the Broncos and the Patriots are just not very good. They probably have Mac Jones back by then, but listen, it's been a long time since I could feel like football is a very simple game. If you think about it, you have to beat, you're lined up against somebody every play. Every play is there's one-on-one matchups. And you need to win those one-on-one matchups. And for a very long time, I had zero confidence in the Jets to be able to win their one-on-one matchups on offense and defense. Right now, I am confident that the Jets can win their one-on-one matchups on offense and defense against most of the teams in the league. Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore and Corey Davis is not a wide receiver trio to be trifled with.
Right.
These guys can get open against anybody.
Yeah.
Breece Hall and Michael Carter are matchup nightmares against linebackers. They just are. Those are guys that we have not had since Tomlinson and Sean Green.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas Jones. I don't even know why I brought Sean Green up first. It's Thomas Jones, Danny Tomlinson, and Sean Green. Right?
Not Frank.
On defense on the outside, you have Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed, who have legitimately shut down every wide receiver group they've faced. They shut down Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. They shut down Deontay Johnson. They shut down George Pickens, and they shut down Chase Claypool. They shut down Jamar Chase. They shut down T. Higgins really had a good game.
Yeah. That was more on
Lamar, the safeties being terrible. Yeah,
and that was on DJ and
yes, and then they shut down Amari Cooper for the most part, also.
Mm-hmm. And even if you say that they didn't shut some of those guys down. They had an impact on those teams' passing game.
Yes, you know? You have confidence heading into each play that you can win that matchup.
Right, exactly.
At defensive end, Carl Lawson and John Franklin Myers and Quinnen Williams. You know, unless it's a bunch of Quentin Nelsons and Ronnie Staley's that they're facing every single week, you know, I think that they have an excellent shot at getting the most push mm-hmm. when it comes to pass rush. Right? Yeah,
absolutely.
So, yeah, I think that you're facing a team in the Packers. Yes, they have a strong rush game. But after that, you have the Broncos and the Patriots, who I'm just really not that like Melvin Gordon does not scare me very much. Mm-mm. Ramondre Stevenson might scare me, but I'm not scared by their passing attack at all. And I think that the Jets can shut down the Patriots. And then the Packers wide receivers are terrible. They don't get open. Mm-hmm. So I guess all this rambling leads me to believe that the Jets are going to win this week. And if they win this week, I will certainly be picking them to beat the Broncos and the Patriots. And then it gets real interesting if they get to face the Bills at 6-2, even at five and three.
Yeah.
I know it'd be 5-4.
Why?
Well, they're 3-2. And if they, right. even if they lose against one of the next, if they take two of the next three,
right.
They'll be 5-3, right?
Yeah.
They'll be 5-3. So even at 5-3, and then you face the Bills. And if you lose to the Bills, you're 5-4 at the bye. And then you have Patriots, Bears, Vikings, Bills, Lions, Jaguars, Seahawks, Dolphins.
Outside of the Bills.
The Vikings, at the Vikings, they have a lot of talent, and they could definitely lose. The Jets can lose that game for sure, but I mean, outside the Bills, yes.
Those are winnable games.
If you're 5-4, you need to win four or five games left, right? To get to the playoffs. You want to get to 10 wins, most likely, right?
Yeah, AFC for sure.
Yeah.
The AFC is a much better conference than the NFC is.
So, but it's weird this year. Like the AFC West, like, is just not very good. Everybody thought they were gonna have three playoff teams, and they just aren't that good. So, if you're 5-4 after Buffalo, you lose to Buffalo, and you lose to like the Packers or the Broncos, right? You have the Bears win. They better. I'm gonna be there.
Play wearing all. You're gonna be there when they're in.
So if you're six and four, you beat against the Bears. You're 6-4, and you have at the Vikings, at the Bills. I'd probably chalk those up to two L's right there.
Yeah, me too.
Right? So then you're 6-6, and then you have Lions, Jaguars, Seahawks, Dolphins the rest of the way.
Lions and Jaguars, I can see being back-to-back wins. Those are both home.
Seahawks are on the road.
Sneaky good. Like, Geno.
I'd love to see Sauce against DK.
Oh, but Geno...
They're still bad. They are a bad team.
Guy. I mean, he's.
I know. I like Geno, and they have a fun offense, but they have no rush game, and their defense is just bad. So yeah. I think the Jets would get three in a row there, and then you're 9-7 heading into Miami, and if you win that game, then you're probably in the playoffs. If you lose, then you're probably just missing out. We're talking about playoffs after 5 weeks, which is just crazy.
It's funny. Okay, I got to give a shout out. My dad has recently started listening to the pod the past couple weeks.
Yeah, he commented on my post.
He did. That's like his first like tweet in like, I don't know, 5 years maybe. but yeah, he called us the eternal optimists, you and me.
So, and we're so negative usually too. Like,
I don't know. I mean, like, if you listen to the show, Dad, if you had listened to the show in the past like 3 years, 2-3 years. This is a much more depressing product. It was
there'd be episodes where we talk for like just 30 minutes and that's it.
I'm done. I can't talk about it. There was literally an episode last year where we didn't talk about the Jets. We spent a whole episode talking about TV.
Yeah, that's right. We did.
It's called the "We Don't Want to Talk About This Team Anymore" episode.
Oh my God, that was fun. Yeah, there was there was a stretch when Sam Darnold was still the quarterback, where the Jets lost like their first 14 or 15 games of the season, and then they won two at the end, and they lost out on Trevor Lawrence, which honestly might have been a good thing.
Yeah.
Who knows? But it looks like we're doing okay in that respect. Trevor Lawrence had arguably the worst interception I've ever seen. Interception last week. It was horrible.
Really, really bad.
And Zach hasn't done that in quite a while, which is good. So, you know, I'm real happy right now with how this has gone this season. I'm cautiously optimistic about this team. A lot is riding on this Packers game.
Yep.
And I'm doing something I normally don't do, which is I'm picking the Packers. I'm picking the Jets to beat the Packers.
In Lambeau,
which if you didn't know, the Jets have a winning record against the Packers all time at 8-5. And they're They have a winning record in Lambeau at 4-3.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Sunday rolls around. By the way, shout out. The Jets have the A team for the announcers on Sunday for Fox.
They do. Burkhart and Greg Olson. Yeah.
Shout out. I was like, I never saw the, never thought.
I mean, if they keep playing well, they'll get their games late in the season. Will get flexed.
Yeah, they'll get. That's true.
They
They can't flex into prime time though, right?
They can flex them in the prime time, like that Bills game, December 11th.
If they're still playing well.
Yeah, or that Dolphins game on January 8th. They could flex them to a Sunday night game if that's for a playoff spot. A Dolphins-Jets Sunday night football game?
Yeah, that's true.
Or Monday night? Like, they might do a Monday night? I don't know. Like, yeah. It could happen. But the Jets need to keep winning first.
They do. But
they got some winnable games coming up.
Yeah. So, let me ask you this. Sunday rolls around. They get their doors blown off. I'm totally, like, total shit-kicking. Like, what they... Like, worse than what happened to the Dolphins on Sunday. They lose, like, 41-3 or something like that. Does that change the narrative for you at all about this season? Or us in general?
I mean, yes. Yeah, if the Jets get blown out, yeah. Right now, they have me feeling like they can be a playoff team. If you go into Lambeau and you get blown, the door's blown off you and Aaron Rodgers humbles you, yeah, I'm going to be like, all right, like, they're not as far as I thought. Like, if they get blown out 45-3, that means Zach turned the ball over, like, three times. Multiple fumbles, blown coverages on defense. It's an unmitigated disaster of a game.
Right.
You know, I don't see that happening to this team. I could be so wrong.
Yeah.
I could be so wrong, but I just don't see it with what I've seen this season so far through 5 weeks. I think they've only like the only big play I can remember was that T. Higgins. Or it wasn't even T. Higgins. It was Tyler Boyd that missed tackle. Like, the Jordan Whitehead came and hit him, and he bounced off, and he just took it all the way to the house. But even then, it wasn't like he was just wide open, you know? Like,
there's only two plays that
criticize I... Criticize Ulbrich all you want, but, like, the way that he's been scheming this defense, there haven't been many big plays that have happened on the Jets.
The only thing that I can think of with mistakes on scheme or either player confusion on the field was the Amari Cooper touchdown where... Brissett hit him in the end zone. There wasn't like a guy within 5 yards.
Same with the Jamar Chase, and right? Jamar
Chase play. It was like basically almost the same thing back to back weeks. And on the Chase touchdown, I remember you can see Sauce he's kind of like off to the left, and you can see him kind of as the play's about to start. He's kind of looking around like he knows something was off.
Right.
Like, into it. And that's like those two. And then the big play to, you said it was Tyler Boyd.
Not Boyd. Tegan. Yeah. That Higgins had that crazy catch in the back of the end zone that got called no catch.
That's right. So yeah, those are the three things that jump immediately to mind as far as like big mistakes that the defense has made.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, overall they've been pretty solid. I don't think that would happen on Sunday that they get blown out or anything like that.
No, I don't see that happening. The Packers don't have enough talent on offense to do that, I don't think.
Yeah.
Anybody.
If they didn't blow out the Bears, like blow them out, I don't think that they'll do that to the Jets. I think the Jets, if it's the line is 7, I definitely think they cover.
If the Jets go into Lambeau and embarrass the Packers, my expectations change. Also change. Like if it's a close win, like my expectations change in one way. If it's a blowout win, they change it another way. If it's a close loss, they probably don't change. And if it's a blowout loss, they definitely change in another way.
Yeah.
You know, a close win, they changed. A close win, I'll be like, yeah, like this team won a tough game on the road at Lambeau Field. Like, that's good. A blowout win, we're like, yeah, this team can be special. Like they just smoked the Packers at home, like on the road. Like, if you win by 20 plus points, we get like another massive performance from Breece Hall or a big performance from Zach Wilson. Yeah. Then I'm going to be like, all right, like this team's real. Like they're like 4-2. They're legitimately good. I'm expecting a win on the road against the Broncos next week. I'm expecting a win at home against the Patriots. And you get the 6-2 and they keep on improving and looking really good. Hell, I'll even probably have confidence that they'll beat the Bills, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet. No. You know, we need to take it 1 week at a time. It's fun, Jack, like looking ahead and being like, oh, like this team's really fun. Like they could play Miami, like I did before. They could play Miami and their 10th win in Miami, you know. But that's just jumping too far ahead. It's a fun exercise that we like to do. It's fun to listen about, but in reality, all that matters is Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay.
Right. One game at a time.
Beat the Packers. Beat them in a close game. Awesome. Beat them convincingly. Even better.
You beat them by double digits. You get the respect of the rest of the league.
Yes. Then the Broncos are like, you know, we got a good football team coming in next week.
Yeah.
If the Jets lose or the Jets, it's even just a close win, they're going to be like, oh, like another like fluky win against a not so good Packers team.
Right.
And even then, if the Jets blow out the Packers, they're going to be like, wow, the Packers must stink, huh? Like,
they let the Jets beat them. It still wouldn't. Actually, yeah, you're right. I'll walk back my respect thing. It still wouldn't be about the Jets. The narrative will still be just about the Packers.
And you know what? Let it be like that.
Yeah, that's fine. Because
this team is feeding off of it.
That's fine.
They fed they were all so pissed about what Tyreek Hill was saying. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, like put you a quarterback and you can and I'll put up numbers, and like the whole thing, like, oh, like when he was like, who, the Jets, who?
Yeah.
Yeah. Quinton didn't forget that. That's why you put him in the
dirt. That's why he shoved his face in the dirt.
Yeah. You know. So I'm excited for this game. And I think that, like I said, I think that they're going to win. I'll even make a prediction.
Oh, wait, here we go.
The score will be 31-24.
Okay.
Jets.
Okay. I say 24-20 Packers.
Okay. All right. That's fine. You're siding with the NFL Network analysts who are all going to pick against the Jets, too.
Last two games, every single analyst picked the other team. So if it goes out there on Sunday and every analyst is picking the Packers.
Can't wait.
That's good for us.
I can't wait. I cannot wait for this game. 1 o'clock on Sunday. I will be on my couch. Ready to go.
First game on Fox.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited. It's only one of a few Fox games we have. Actually, we actually have a decent amount of Fox games. We're at the Seahawks on Fox. Mm-hmm. Home against the Lions on Fox. Home against the Bears on Fox.
Yeah, and basically any NFC game.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess because it's, interesting. Well, we're home. Even when we're home, we're getting Fox games. Like, the Bears are on Fox. And, like, the Bears game's on Fox. It should be a CBS game because we're home.
Right.
You know? Whatever. It's fine. As long as they keep on giving us Kevin Burkhardt to listen to, I'll be okay about it. I'm not even going to be listening to that Bears game. I'll be there. So. All right. Any final thoughts on our New York Jettas before?
Between us and the Giants, I think New York football is back.
Dude, it feels nice.
What was it? Was it, this week? Is it's the first time that both the Jets and Giants are over 500 since, like, I mean, I don't remember, but it's been quite some time.
It's been so long.
Quite some
2015.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So. Yeah.
All right, folks, that's it for us here. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Jesse Finver. Connor, where can they find you?
At the NJ Mick.
And you can find any Gotham sports related stuff on Twitter at GothamSN, or you can go to GothamSN.com. You can find all the podcasts that we have on our network on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, and Apple Music. Or podcasts, or whatever you call it, Apple Pod, the purple, you know, the purple thing on your iPhone, the one with the microphone and it's purple, the purple one, the purple one. And that's it for us. We're excited for the Packers game. We hope you guys are too. And you'll hear us next week. All right. Peace.